Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Gallen, and joining me right now is the director of Superior AmeriCorps, Marcy Erickson. Marcy, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's a good opportunity to talk about Superior AmeriCorps, which gets mentioned from time to time because of the involvement that the students have in various projects. But we never really had an opportunity to say, well, let's just talk about Superior AmeriCorps and what they're about. So this is our chance to be able to do that. So kind of let's start with that. Give me kind of an overview of what Superior AmeriCorps is.
Sure. So Superior AmeriCorps is a community service-based program. And it's part of a larger network of programs that run all the way across the country. So AmeriCorps is run by a federal agency, the community, the National Service Commission. And so we're just one of thousands of AmeriCorps programs across the country. And here in our local community, our members, we place them in schools, elementary schools and preschools, to help students, support them with learning how to read.
Is there a goal or a mission statement of the Superior AmeriCorps?
Well, for AmeriCorps, the mission or their slogan is getting things done for America.
Okay.
We are tied in with BHK, that's our fiscal agency, and so their goal is to strengthen our community through youth.
So you said there's thousands of these AmeriCorps organizations throughout the country. How far does Superior AmeriCorps reach demographically?
So currently we're operating in Houghton and Baraga counties. In the past we've reached as far as like Iron County, Gogebic County, Ontonagon County. Because we're housed with BHK, we say we service Keweenaw County, but there are no preschools or elementary schools are in right now in Keweenaw County.
All right. Who gets involved with this?
So AmeriCorps is open to virtually anybody over the age of 17. Most of our members are recent high school graduates or college graduates, but we've had, I would say, every age of member with AmeriCorps in the past. So
I may have missed you. You said over or under 17?
Over the age of 17.
They're usually over. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All yeah. Right. So that's who our members are. We serve people, children in the preschools and the elementary schools.
Okay.
So
what kind of work do you do?
So our members get trained with literacy and reading intervention strategies to work alongside of the teachers, both at the preschool and the elementary level. And so they're targeting students who are at risk of failure or currently failing to meet the benchmark standards for reading. And so the members serve those children and they pull them out of their class throughout the day, or they might work directly in the classroom, like in a preschool environment. They're always in the classroom. But they're just really focused on building a love of reading in children and then just strengthening their literacy skills wherever they're currently at. At the preschool level, they're not reading yet, but they can work with helping them form letter sounds and recognize letters. But then at the elementary school, they're working with fluency, comprehension, phonics, phonemic awareness, all those different things.
Who typically gets involved besides age-wise as far as what is the motivation to become part of Superior AmeriCorps?
Right, so actually, through some surveys that have been done across the country, one of the biggest motivators for people joining AmeriCorps or a community service program is simply to help their community and to give back. Another big motivator for our members is that after completing a year of service with AmeriCorps, as they sign up for 1 year at a time, they receive an educational award. So it's like a scholarship. And right now, it's close to $6,000, just under $6,000 for 1 year of service as a full-time member. So that's a pretty big incentive for people who have just finished college and have those loans to pay off, or for recent high school graduates that are looking to go to college.
So, what requirements do you have for somebody to join AmeriCorps besides the age?
So really it's just someone for our program, someone who has an interest in working with children. Hopefully they're passionate about reading. And just a willingness to kind of jump in and help out their community. Because we also do community service projects throughout the year. And we have one coming up in September for Make a Difference Day. But So we don't require any professional background, and that's a nice thing for people who are, say, maybe somebody's considering getting into teaching as a career. This is a way for them to get some experience in the school without any prior background or training. We give them all the training they need to get into the school and start helping those children.
Yeah, that was one of the things I guess came to mind when you were talking about this, is this would be, I could see the appeal for somebody that is planning on working with children, and you know, there's a lot of hoops you got to jump through before right. you're qualified to be able to do that professionally, but here's an opportunity to get some experience that not only are you able to help children, work with children, but it also has some benefit for you as well if you're pursuing the education.
Right, absolutely. And that's a lot of, actually a lot of our local school teachers were former AmeriCorps members, and that's how they kind of got their foot in the door, is, you know, spending time in that school as an AmeriCorps member. They get known by all the teachers because they work with so many different students. And then when they're ready to apply for a teaching job, they're well known in the school community. So,
well, if the organization kind of spans across the country, how large is the Superior AmeriCorps as far as membership?
So we are one of the smaller programs. You know, there's some programs down in lower Michigan that have upwards of 100 members. Our program right now, we have 20 slots we can fill. We have 13 of those slots filled right now. So we're a fairly small program, but there are programs even smaller than us. So we're not the smallest. And then I don't know if there's any programs that go into the, you know, several hundred level. I think it's usually 100 to 200 is the largest.
Now, being from outside of Detroit, a major city, I don't recall hearing about, you know, activities by AmeriCorps. Are they more active in underserved areas?
Well, not necessarily, but it is. So AmeriCorps first got funded in 1995, I believe I'm saying that right. It was 95 or 96. And so then the first year of operation was the year after that. So it is a fairly young program. And because of that, I think a lot of people are still sort of learning about it and understanding the scope of it. But it's a lot of the programs do serve underserved populations, but I know just in the Detroit area, there's got to be at least 6 AmeriCorps programs operating in that area.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could be then that since I've been up here for the last 7 years, that I just didn't hear much about them, or at least, there's a lot True. Of other news that
right. is right. in the Detroit right. area. And I think the nature of AmeriCorps is that people are just kind of, they put their heads down and get their work done, and there's not a lot of time spent getting our name out there. And letting the community know what we do. So,
it's a little like the Rotary Club. You'd be surprised how many Rotarians you know that they don't go around, you know, telling everybody that they're a Rotarian or what they're doing.
Right,
you know,
right.
But they are pretty active and very supportive of several organizations. And speaking some of those community involvement projects that AmeriCorps has, I think I first became aware of activity from Superior AmeriCorps when they were helping with winterization of homes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so that was just one of many programs. Can you talk about some of those different things they do?
Sure, yeah. So in the past, AmeriCorps has done just a whole slew of different community service projects, anywhere from ranging, like you said, winterizing homes to helping the elderly in our community with Little Brothers, Friends of the Elderly is always looking for people to help with firewood, making firewood for the elderly and delivering meals to them, raking, doing kind of lawn care, snow removal. But our program has become a little bit more, the scope of it has become a bit narrowed. I guess you could say AmeriCorps at the national level has asked programs to get very specific in what they're doing. So when we apply for funding now, we have to specify exactly what need we're going to serve in our community. And right now, that need is helping children. So our scope has narrowed to that. And so now all of our community service projects are centered around, in some way, shape, or form, literacy, reading, and youth. And so our range of projects has changed a bit over time, I guess you could say.
Mm, all right. Yeah. Well, still, that's a very important area, and you can do some real good work with that. And how does that play into Make a Difference Day?
Right. So Make a Difference Day is coming up next month. It's in October, and it's like the fourth Saturday, I believe, in October, where our team of AmeriCorps members is in the process of planning an event at the NARA Nature Center. And they're hoping to collaborate with the Humane Society there. And they want to do kind of a fall or Halloween-themed activity for youth and have reading incorporated in there. So at the NARA Center itself, they'll have people reading books for children, doing literacy-themed crafts, having some kind of a trick-or-treating thing with treats and things there. And then also promoting getting youth outside, so going outside and walking through. They're planning to have, and this is all still plans in the making, but they're planning to have like a story walk outside where you move from site to site and read one page or two pages of a book as you move through the trail system. And then they're hoping to have some dogs from the Humane Society brought over so that people can walk dogs and kind of give back to their community as they come to an event that we're trying to give back.
The fourth Saturday of October, I believe, is Treat Street. That's been moved because they moved it to Saturday in Houghton. So
Keep that in mind. So then it might be the Saturday before that. Sorry, I didn't look at my calendar before it came. But we're going to get information out about that as they plan it. Yeah. We tried to plan it around that because we didn't want there to be a conflict of two different things attracting the same people.
Well, we'll make sure we give you an opportunity again before the end of the interview. But if people are looking for a schedule or those kind of updates and more information about Superior AmeriCorps, how do they get it?
So we are active through Facebook with the BHK Facebook page. And then we have a website, superioramericorps.org, that has just general information on AmeriCorps. We don't really post our events on there, but we will be making flyers, posting those through the community, and then because we work in schools, all of our events will be able to send home pamphlets or little flyers with the children from the schools.
Okay.
So
if you get it to us, we'll also put it on our community calendar at kiwanareport.com.
Okay.
I know
Thank
a lot
you.
Of people use that because it has so many different events that go on. October is a very busy month.
Yes, it is.
All right. Let's say you have somebody they're interested in this. It sounds like you've got some spaces available if 13 out of the 20 slots are filled. So yeah, it means you would have 7 openings, I guess. If somebody wants to get involved, how do they do that?
So the best way is to contact me, but they can also go on to the AmeriCorps.gov website and they can apply to any AmeriCorps program. I think any AmeriCorps program across the country, but you submit an application on there and I would get the applications through that.
Is there a window that you apply to do that? That you can only bring on people at certain times of the year, or is it open throughout the year?
There is a window. We have 2 start dates that we're allowed to specify, and our first start date was August 27th. Our second start date is October, I think I said October 10th, somewhere around that ballpark. And we have the ability, you know, we have the funds to support 20 members. However, one thing we're up against is finding partnering agencies to host an AmeriCorps member. And because we place members in schools, the schools have to agree to take on a member. So that is our challenge right now, is trying to find more schools to partner with us. There is a small fee that the schools have to pay to have an AmeriCorps member, because we do pay them a living stipend while they are serving with us.
Expand on that. So
they're
not necessarily from the immediate area.
The members
members.
The members are they come from all
anywhere.
Over, right? We've had members apply from all over the country, actually. Yeah, but our partnering agencies. So like the schools that we're serving in right now, they have to sign an agreement with us. And in that agreement, they're agreeing to support a portion of the living stipend that we provide for the members. And so right now, because schools are up against a lot of budget issues, it can be hard for them to come up with that money to help support the AmeriCorps member in their school. So that's on my list of things to do, is try to find ways to alleviate that expense. I'll have to be a little creative in my thinking, sure, of where we can find more funding to support this.
Well, where does your funding come from right now?
Right now, it comes from this this federal agency in Washington, D.C., the Corporation for National and Community Service. They channel it through Michigan Community Service Commission, which is housed at DHHS in Lansing. So we're funded by the federal government, but through a Michigan agency. If that makes sense. Money moves
when it comes to government and financing.
It's kind of messy, but it's a federal agency, and so we apply for funding from them. Right. And then BHK has to, of course, provide. It's like a 60-40% thing, where 60% of the funding will come from CNCS, and then BHK has to support 40% of that.
Have you received any funding recently?
Yes, we have. We just got awarded another 3-year cycle of funding, and that's typically how the AmeriCorps grant works. It runs in 3-year cycles, and so on August 1st, we started our next 3 years of funding, which is great, because we're, like I said, at a time when schools are hurting for money, it's nice to still be able to get funded in this way so that we can offer some more support to the schools. And we're going into our 21st year, I think, of operation. I think we're one of the longest operating programs in Michigan, AmeriCorps programs. So.
Okay. Yeah. Does the Marquette have its own separate program? I'm just wondering if they even have one.
You know, Marquette had one, and it just ended this year. They decided to stop running it. So it was run through, here locally, we have the Copper Country Intermediate School District as an agency that serves all of our schools. In Marquette, they have a similar agency. The acronym is MARISA. And MARISA had an AmeriCorps program for many, many years, but they decided to not reapply for funding this year. I'm not exactly sure why, but...
Well, it lets people know that, you know, these programs aren't guaranteed.
You have three years
of funding right now, but, you know, depending on the amount of involvement you get, amount of support from the schools in 3 years, you don't know which way you can be going. You're hoping to be able to continue, because it sounds like you do a lot of good with, and what's, it's so important for kids to get involved with reading. And I've seen that if they're involved with it when they're young, it tends to stick. What's the saying about teaching old dogs new tricks? If they get older, then trying to get, a 10-year-old involved in reading that has never had that background is very next to impossible.
It's very difficult.
It's a habit and a joy that they learn when they're quite young. And parents can play a huge part in that by reading to their children, and reading with their children. And it can make such a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you bring that up, because it is a huge reason why we chose literacy as the focus of our efforts. There's all sorts of studies and research that indicates that this one factor that is the most important in determining a student's academic success is having access to books at home, so age-appropriate books. So if you're raising children and you want them to be successful in school, one of the best ways you can ensure that is by providing books for them to read. And then the second most important thing is having those books read to them by an adult at home. On a daily basis, if possible. So the more they're exposed to that reading material from a young age, the more likely they are to be successful. Actually, the research indicates they will probably be in the top 25% of their class if you do those two things. So we know that parents are busy today, and so that is one of our goals. That is one of the things I try to instill in the AmeriCorps members when I'm training them, is that above all else, make sure you're getting some time to read with the children you're serving, and show them that reading is a fun and enjoyable experience, to turn them on to it.
And it is a skill that you get better at reading, because Now, I don't get an opportunity to read as much as I used to for fun. You know, I do a lot of reading for work, obviously. Sure. But, of course, when I was growing up, I used to read quite a bit for fun. And because I don't read as much, it takes me a long time to read things. I have to really concentrate when right. when I read, and it's hard to get away without, you know, without having distractions. My daughter, who we made books and reading paramount mm-hmm. when she was growing up, is so good at reading. And she's now a college student, but she can sit and read a new hardcover book in a matter of a few hours. And she remembers, everything. But because it's a skill, and it's just like anything else, the more you use it, the better you can get at it. And you mentioned about how busy everybody is. Well, imagine if I had that skill now, how much easier my own life would be if I could read right. something rather quickly and still understand it, rather than what it does. It will take me a month to read a book, trying to read 10 sure. pages a sure. day or whatever yeah. it might be, and where she can yeah. sit down and knock it out literally, the same day that we bought the book, she's got it read.
Yeah, so she has that fluency piece mm-hmm. yeah. under her cap, no problem. Right. Yeah, that's exactly where we would like to get all children, is in that position. But we also know that by the age of, by third grade, that's sort of, when that window of opportunity starts to close. Our education system is set up so that from preschool through third grade, teachers are really focused on teaching kids how to read. After third grade, your education changes, and now you are learning by reading. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know how to read going into fourth grade, and all of your education shifts to you have to read to learn, you're really going to struggle. And so students have been tracked, and it shows that if a student is not reading successfully by the end of third grade, they're more likely to not graduate on time or to drop out. They're more likely to live in poverty as an adult. They're more likely to become incarcerated. There's just all kinds of sort of gruesome statistics if you are not proficient at reading after third grade. So like you said, it's very difficult to teach an old dog new tricks. And it can be done. We can take a struggling sixth grader and bring them up to the proficiency level we would like them at, but it's very, very difficult. If I remember right, the probability that will happen is like you got a 10% chance of getting a struggling sixth grader, say, to a proficient reading level. So it's, you have to put a lot of work in.
Yeah. Well, and I think that parents do have that ability to make that difference. When I see a young child, I'm talking to someone like from 2 to 4 years old, and they're playing a game on a cell phone, or they're holding a hand, held screen to keep them occupied, either in the car or in the cart with the shopping, when they're out shopping. And you think, if the kid would be just as happy with a book if you taught them, how wonderful, books are.
Right.
And, I think it's just a shortcut for us as parenting to say, well, we'll put a screen in front of them. And then that habit of needing a screen in front of them sticks with them as yeah. they grow, as opposed to, being able to enjoy reading.
Right, right. And yeah, and I just to put a little plug in for our local library, on that note, that even if a family doesn't have a lot of books at home, we have access to so many great books through our local library systems and interlibrary loans, and to open up a kid's world to the books available to them through a library is just a really incredible thing. We've had some AmeriCorps members do that in the past, where children just weren't familiar with a library. And the fact that through their little school library, they can go on a computer and interlibrary loan any book practically in the whole wide world. This member, she introduced children to that experience, and they were just so, they just ate that up. They really, really enjoyed that. Their world just became larger because they discovered they had access to so many books through their library. So I'm always... I'm a big fan of our local library systems, and so just want to put that out there that that's another way to, yeah. to get kids interested in books is by bringing them to those library settings enjoying what they have there.
Absolutely. Well, our goal here was to learn, you know, more about Superior AmeriCorps and things that you do, and I certainly have learned quite a bit in just the short time that we had to talk about it. And now parents will also know, if they're, especially if their kids are involved in with any of the BHK programs and Superior AmeriCorps is participating, they know, you know, kind of who they are and what their mission is. And if somebody does want to learn more, again, I said I'd give you another opportunity, because people sometimes will wait to the end of the interview and then write down the information they need. How do they find it out?
Great. So, yeah, they can get in touch with me, Marcy Erickson, directly. They can email me. My information is all available on the SuperiorAmeriCorps.org website. But my phone number, 906-487-6600, extension 145. My office is at the BHK Child Development Center in Houghton, right up by Econo Foods. And then my email is MAERICKS at BHKFirst.org. Any of those ways they can get in touch with me. Also, the AmeriCorps.gov website has a load of information on just AmeriCorps in general, not on our specific AmeriCorps program, but a person that wanted to know more could spend many happy hours reading there. Right. So,
Marcy, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.